This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me. As always, night two of the NFL Draft is in the books. The top 100 picks of the NFL Draft have been complete. Rounds two and three brought a lot of surprises, more skill players, some running backs, not as many running backs as maybe we thought, not as many tight ends as we thought. Here at Saturday Sunday, we will break it all down, pick-by-pick analysis, initial dynasty rookie rankings that I was doing on the fly as I was live tweeting about every pick as well. So let's just kind of jump right into it. The Bills, after their trade yesterday, where Carolina came up to get Xavier Leggett, had the first pick in the round tonight, and they chose to select Keon Coleman out of Florida State. I have made my feelings known about Keon Coleman in the entire pre-draft process. I thought he was getting too much negativity with people wanting to basically that he can't separate, he can't do this just because he had a poor 40 time. I kept saying his play speed's faster, reminds me more of T. Higgins or Mike Williams than Quentin Johnston or N'Keal Harry. I love the fit there in Buffalo. I think it's a really interesting fit for fantasy. I think he quickly become the lead wide receiver there with Josh Allen. I think as soon as this year, it could be Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid as Josh Allen's number one and number two targets. So I really like the fit there, the ball skills, the body control. I think he's his play speed much faster than his time speed. At pick 34, the Chargers move up. They take wide receiver Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. A guy who I think is going to thrive in that role there. He could maybe potentially catch 100 passes sooner rather than later. Maybe not year one, but I think it's possibility by year two. The athleticism, the movement skills, the route running chops. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's got versatility. He knows how to vary his route tempo. Great after the catch. Great pick. We talked yesterday about the Chargers. I think they need to double dip. I think they even need to take another wide receiver potentially tomorrow on day three. But this gives Justin Herbert a new go-to guy that I think he's going to be potentially be his target leader as early as his rookie season. Falcons make a pretty bold, aggressive trade up at pick 35 and take Ruge Orihuro out of Clemson. I was expecting him to be more of a late second or a third round pick, and Atlanta came up and gave up a third round pick. A little undersized in terms of the frame for a defensive tackle, but he's got great athleticism, footwork, he's got movement skills. You see first step explosiveness and burst as a pass rusher. I think he's got the upside to be a really productive starting free tech defensive tackle. Good hand usage as well. So while it seemed a little early, I do like the player. And it's clear that Raheem Morris is looking for guys, just like last year when he was the D coordinator of Rams, he found guys to be productive right out of the gate. I think they targeted Ruke early in round two, one, to make sure they went up and got him and did not want to lose out on him. They must have really targeted him to be their guy. At pick 36, the Commanders selected Johnny Newton out of Illinois. This is the guy who I had projected to be go round one of the 2024 NFL draft. Little undersized, but really good athleticism, footwork, burst, and quickness. You see good hand usage. You see play strength and physicality. You see really great instincts. Three down starting, three tech defensive tackle. I think I was surprised to see him fall to day two. I think the Commanders did a good job ending his slide early portion of round two tonight. At pick 37, after the Patriots had made a small move back, letting the Chargers come up to get Ladd McConkey, they take a wide receiver. They take Jalen Polk out of Washington. There's a lot to like about Polk's game. He doesn't have a elite calling card, but he's got good size and frame. I think his athleticism is average to above average, but the play strength, the physicality, the body control and ball skills. The body control and ball skills, I think, are his best traits and his best calling card. His ability to win at the catch point, whether it's contested catches, whether it's going up and making it and high pointing, really like the player Jalen Polk. There were some other wide receivers that in my own personal rankings I liked more, But I could see the Patriots saying, you know, we got Drake May yesterday. Jalen Polk is a guy. We need a solid, reliable wide receiver. I think that's what Jalen Polk brings to the table here. So I could totally get behind that. At pick 38, the Titans, I think, make one of the more surprise picks of the day. And they take DeAndre Sweat out of Texas. Now, I didn't even think Sweat would go this early prior to the DUI. I definitely didn't think he would go this high after the DUI when there was also some concerns about his weight. There was concerns about, like, is he just a, you know, interior run disruptor or can he bring more to the table? I always thought he was in that, like, pick 50 range, and then I thought he was going to fall out potentially out of the first three rounds. But obviously the Titans, you know, did not want to, you know, risk another team picking him. That elite size and frame, he's got good athleticism and movement skills for a man his size, the play strength, the power, the toughness and physicality. He can two-gap, he can stop the run. A lot to like about him. He's got starting nose tackle upside. Just surprised that he was the pick as early as he was considered. A lot of people thought that he was maybe going to potentially fall due to the DUI and some other stuff. At pick 39, the Rams come up in an aggressive move, which is costing them their second round pick next year. And they take Brandon Fisk out of Florida State. I like Fisk the player a lot. I've talked about him, a little bit undersized frame, but very good athleticism. He's got footwork. He's got burst and movement skills. There's some first step quickness as a rusher and versus the run. I love the hand use and the techniques he plays with. And you see good instincts as well. A lot to like about his game. Very aggressive play demeanor as a starting defensive tackle. Next up, at pick 40. The Eagles do what the Eagles do. And every year I sit here and I want them to have a bad draft. And all they do is know how to work the board. They did it again later in the third round, twice dropping down eight picks and picking up an additional fourth each time. So they're sitting there with two extra fourth round picks tomorrow. But in this move, they come up here and they get arguably far and away, I think the best player who is left on the board, and that is Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Versatile defensive back who can play the nickel corner, can play outside corner. You can play him at safety. You can do a variety of things with him. We're talking very good to elite level athlete, the speed, the burst and acceleration. He's got ball skills. He's got play strength. He's got physicality in run support and in coverage. Home run, grand slam, best value pick far and away, I think so far in this draft, is Cooper DeJean to the Eagles. The Saints making a move up the following pick at pick 41. And I think they get one of the best value picks in the draft. And that's them drafting cornerback out of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry. This is once upon a time, people thought this guy could be a top 10 or top 15. His man cover skills are fantastic. He's got great size. He's got good frame. He's got athleticism and speed. He's got closing bursts. He plays a good play strength and physicality at the catch point and in his routes. I'm not really sure why Kool-Aid fell as much as he did, from a top 10 pick to a mid to late first rounder and then all the way into the second round. But I think the Saints, pairing him with Marshon Lattimore, really dynamic duo they potentially have there. At 42, the Texans select Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. He was a guy that a lot of mixed opinions on. Kamari Lassiter, he's got good size. The frame's a little thin. The athletic testing was pretty poor during the pre-draft process. I think he's got good play speed and short area quickness with bursts and movement skills. I think the instincts are above average. The play recognition, I think he's got good press cover skills. I think he's got the upside to be a starting quarterback in multiple schemes. But the pre-draft process in terms of the athletic testing, I think, did hurt his stock a little bit here over the last couple months. 43, the Cardinals select Max Melton out of Rutgers. This was one of my favorite day two prospects. I really was hoping the Giants maybe invested in the corner in round two, but Melton goes off the board before, you know, that was possible. Great athleticism, speed, burst, acceleration, movement skills. He's got really good change of direction, agility, and footwork. He's got play strength. He's got cover skills, and he's got really great ball skills. He can play the nickel or he can play outside. I love the pick by the Cardinals taking Max Melton. At 44, the Las Vegas Raiders select Jackson Powers Johnson. And what I thought was interesting was they called him an offensive guard. So he might, well, I thought his best position was center. It sounds like he's going to get every opportunity to be a starting offensive guard this year. Great frame, great power, play strength, finishing ability and toughness, good techniques, a good run blocker and pass protector. To me, you want him in a gap, power gap run scheme. That's where he is at his best. At 45, the Packers take somebody they were contemplating taking in round one, and that was Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. Great athletic ability, speed, range, burst, lateral quickness, really good blitzer. He's got play strength. He plays with a demeanor, like a physical, aggressive demeanor. Three down linebacker, whether it's inside, whether it's outside, a lot to like about Edgerrin Cooper's game. I pick 46, the Carolina Panthers move up, take the first running back off the board, and that's Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. I comped him when I was on the Harris Football Podcast to Matt Forte. Good size and frame, very good athleticism, speed, burst, acceleration, really clean and fluid movement skills. You see agility, you see elusiveness, change of direction and cutting ability. I think he's got good receiving skills. I don't think he always plays up to his size of 216. That was my really only knock on him, and then obviously he's coming off of the injury. But I think he's got starting running back with three down skill set and upside. I pick 47. The Giants stay pat and take the first safety off the board, and that is Tyler Newbin. Newbin, a really interesting player out of Minnesota. A lot of people's number one safety. Great size and frame. Good athleticism. Again, the play speed, faster than the time speed, but he was dealing with an injury at his pro day. But he's got bursts. You see bursts. You see the ability to get to where he needs to be. He's got really good play recognition, and the vision that he sees and the instincts and techniques that he plays with allows him to even play faster. So you see, you know, good closing bursts. You see him have great ball production, not good ball skills, but great ball skills and great production. He's got good play strength and run support. To me, he's a plug and play starting safety, replaces Xavier McKinney. You know, so the Giants were looking for somebody to replace that. I think he steps right in, probably, you know, with Jason Pinnock, the other safety, but Newbin steps right in and takes over that role that McKinney left. At pick 48, the Jaguars take Mason Smith out of LSU. You know, a guy that rare size, good frame, great length, good athleticism, quickness, and movement skills for a man his size, really good play strength, power, and physicality, does a really good job setting the edge. I think he may be his best at a five tech defensive end who kicks inside to defensive tackle in sub packages. A lot of upside traits for Mason Smith. At pick 49, another defensive tackle. This time it's the Bengals taking Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. Good size, average frame, but the athleticism, the movement skills, you see play strength, you see toughness, you see physicality. He's got first step quickness to be an interior disruptor versus the run and versus the pass. I pick 50, the Commanders, who seem to be on the clock the entire night. But the Commanders stay tight there at pick 50, you know, and they select out of Michigan, cornerback, probably nickel corner, Mike Sinnerstill. Really interesting player, undersized but explosive cornerback with starter traits at the nickel position. Very good movement skills, athleticism. He's got speed. I love the agility, the change of direction, and the lateral quickness. You see it show up on film constantly. He's got really good ball skills. He's got play strength and physicality in run support. There's a lot to like about Sanders Still's game at the next level in terms of translating. At pick 51, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Zach Frazier out of West Virginia, starting offensive center. Best in a gap run scheme, good frame. Athleticism and movement skills are probably just average, but really good play strength, power, toughness, physicality. He's a really good run blocker. I think you got to put him in a power gap run scheme, and this guy could have a really successful career moving forward. 52, the Colts make a trade and go up and get wide receiver A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. A lot of people thought he was going to be taken in like the 15 to 25 range. He falls to pick 52. He's got very good size. Average frame, but we're talking a guy who tested out as an elite level athlete. He's got athleticism, he's got speed, he's got movement skills. You see bursts and acceleration, good footwork and body control and ball skills with great hands. You got length and catch radius, the ability to go up and get it. To me, he's got starting outside X upside. Now they already have Michael Pittman there, but I think A.D. Mitchell brings a lot to the table. Really good value pick there for a guy who has fallen. At pick 53, a little bit of a surprise, the Commanders select the second tight end in the draft, and that is Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State. Anyone who's been a longtime listener knows I've been a big fan of Ben Sinnott. A lot to like about his game, the size, the frame, the athleticism, the movement skills, the ability to attack the seam. He's got route running chops, separation quickness ability, gives a really high effort in terms of his blocking, so he could play a little bit in line. But this is a guy who was a focal point of that K-State offense. A lot to like about Ben Sinnott's game. Might have been a little early for my blood, but I do like the player a lot, so I'm not going to knock that by making a little bit of early of an investment there to get that guy there to really help out their young quarterback and add another dynamic weapon in terms of the pass game. At pick 54, the Browns select Michael Hall, defensive tackle out of Ohio State. This was one of my guys that I really was intrigued with because while he's undersized for a defensive tackle, we see good athleticism. We see that short area quickness and burst, good play strength. You see hand usage. You see good techniques and instincts. He had a great Senior Bowl week, you know, was winning one-on-ones constantly. I think he could become a very effective starting three tech defensive tackle at the next level. The Dolphins at pick 55 select offensive tackle Patrick Paul. Great size and frame, really good athleticism, movement skills. He shows lateral quickness, good pass protector, recoverability. I think he's best in a zone run scheme, which kind of fits what the Dolphins want to do in terms of that outside zone run scheme. So I think it's a perfect marriage of player, scheme fit. I think Paul could really have a successful tenure at his time in Miami. At pick 56, the Dallas Cowboys select Marshawn Nealand out of Western. Marshawn Nealand out of Western Michigan. This is a guy who I thought could have snuck into the latter part of round one. Good frame, above average athleticism. He's got closing bursts. He's got some first step quickness and bend off the edge, but really love the hand usage. That's my favorite thing about him. The hand usage, the play strength, the power. I think he's got starter traits and upside as a traditional 4-3 defensive end, or could even stand up a little bit as well. At pick 57, the Buccaneers selected edge rusher Chris Braswell out of Alabama. Good size and frame, good athleticism, very good length, good first step quickness and pass rush techniques. Shows the ability to bend off the edge. Upside traits as an edge defender or a situational pass rusher early in his career. At pick 58, the Green Bay Packers select Javon Bullard out of Georgia. Very versatile player here. Good athleticism, short area quickness, speed, movement skills. But I love the instincts, the play recognition, and the techniques. He's got above average cover skills. To me, he's a starting nickel cornerback or a safety at the next level. At pick 59, the Texans select offensive tackle Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame. Really great size, good frame, good athleticism, great length. He shows play strength. He's a good pass protector. I like his recoverability. I think that's the trait that stands out the most about him. To me, he's got upside to be a starting left tackle or right tackle. And he's scheme independent. He could play in a gap scheme or a zone run scheme at the next level. The Bills at pick 60 to select Cole Bishop out of Utah, a guy I was really high on. Love the athleticism, speed, the burst, and the short area quickness. He's got play strength, toughness, aggressiveness, and physicality. I think he's upside to be a starting strong safety. You're talking about, you know, the Bills have had really good safety play, you know, whether it's Micah Hyde, you know, or other guys they've had there, you know, Jordan Poyer. So they've had a lot of really good safeties there. Bishop, I think, is going to be next in that line of being a high-end productive safety for the Bills. At pick 61, the Lions take one of Daniel Jeremiah's favorite players, and that's Ennis Rakestraw Jr. out of Missouri. They took Terry Norton last night. They come back with Rakestraw Jr. this year, really solidifying that cornerback room. He doesn't have the ideal measurables in terms of speed, but he's got really good short area quickness and burst. He plays really tough, good play strength, physicality. He gets in, mixes it up in run support and in coverage. He's got good cover skills. He's got press ability. There's a lot to like about his game, minus that he didn't test out as a great athlete in terms of his time speed. At pick 62, the Ravens select Roger Rosengarten out of Washington, the offensive tackle. You know, one of Mel Kiper's guys that he's really been hyping up in the whole pre-draft process. Good frame, very good athleticism and movement skills. Good length, good play strength. He's got good instincts and techniques. He can play outside and be a starting offensive tackle. He can kick inside if need to. I think he's best in a power gap run scheme. At 63, the Chiefs select Kingsley Sumatotea out of BYU, the offensive tackle. Great frame, good athleticism. He's got ability to slide laterally, good length, average play strength and physicality. Former five-star recruit, two-year starter. To me, he's got the upside to be a starting tackle in the NFL, best in a zone scheme. And at pick 64, the 49ers, the last pick of the second round, a little bit of a surprise pick, but they get one of my guys. They get Renardo Green, but I actually thought Renardo Green might fall all the way to the fourth round because there didn't seem to be a lot of buzz with him in terms of people's big boards and the consensus that was out there. But I've always been a fan of Renardo Green out of Florida State. Very good footwork, agility, movement skills, and change of direction skills. I love the instincts and the techniques. He's got cover ability. He's got recover ability. To me, he can play press. I think there's a lot to like about his game, you know, to become a starter at the next level. And now with that draft capital attached to it, I think he's got every opportunity to be a starter there in time with the 49ers. So I really like the pick of Renardo Green. If we take this now to the third round, the Jets trade up and select Malachi Corley. If we are to believe what is out there, Connor Hughes of SNY said that they had Malachi Corley as the fourth wide receiver in this draft class after the big three that went in the top 10 yesterday. So that means over every other wide receiver that went, you know, whether it was Brian Thomas Jr. or Ladd McConkie or Keon Coleman or Xavier Worthy, that's how much they like Malachi Corley. We've heard the comps, you know, to Deebo Samuel. Obviously, Corley's out of Western Kentucky. It's the frame, the athleticism, the explosiveness, speed and burst, the body control, the contact balance, his ability to absorb contact, stay balanced, pick up extra yards. He really is the closest thing I think we've had to a Deebo-like player. His yak and rack ability is special, and he adds something to that Jets offense that is very unique now. They have, obviously, Garrett Wilson, their go-to guy. They have the explosiveness of Breece Hall, and now they add another guy like Malachi Corley, who's going to add a whole different level of dynamic upside there. So really impressed with the Jets selection of Malachi Corley. At pick 66, the Cardinals select Trey Benson, running back out of Florida State. My number one running back, one of my guys. He's going to quickly win over that job and make James Conner more of a bit player there. I love the athleticism, the burst, the acceleration, but to me, it's that contact balance. It's the ability to pick up yards after contact, to make people, you know, miss in short spaces for a bigger guy that he has. He's got play strength, he's got power, he's got footwork. He shows agility and elusiveness to make people miss in space. There's a lot to like about Trey Benson's game. I pick 67. The Commanders back on the clock select Brandon Coleman, offensive tackle out of TCU. Good athleticism and movement skills, good techniques and hand usage. To me, he's a three-year starter, team captain. He's got inside-outside versatility as a guard or a tackle. I think he's best in his own run scheme and can develop into a starter at the next level. 68, Patriots make one of the, probably the next surprise pick so far on day two, which was offensive tackle Caden Wallace out of Penn State. I thought he was more of a round four guy, round five. But the Patriots obviously liked him enough to pick him here at the top of round three. I like the length. I like the body control. He plays a good play strength and physicality. I thought he was more of a depth offensive tackle with the upside to become a starter that could kick inside the offensive guard and play in either a gap or a zone run scheme. Up at 69, Chargers finally get a Michigan guy. You knew Jim Harbaugh was going to attack the Michigan well at some point. And he selects linebacker Junior Colson out of Michigan. Great size and frame, good athleticism, speed, movement skills, burst, the leadership he brings to the table, the toughness, the physicality, the play strength. This is a guy that you build your defense around. And I think Jim Harbaugh saw him out there. He was my favorite linebacker in this class. I think there's a lot to like about Junior Colson. I thought he was going to go somewhere in the second half of round two. At pick 70, the Giants select cornerback Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky. This is a Dame Brugler and Daniel Jeremiah favorite. Good frame, very good athleticism, had a 42-inch vert. He's got speed, he's got closing burst, he's got movement skills, good agility and change of direction skills. I love the play strength, the toughness, and the physicality he plays with in terms of his run support and in coverage. To me, it's the upside to be a starting cornerback inside or on the outside, but I think he's best in the nickel. Dame Brugler compared him to Roger McCreary. But more athletic, those are all high praises for Andrew Phillips. I think he's going to get every opportunity this year to be the starting nickel corner there for the New York Football Giants. At pick 71, the Cardinals select Isaiah Adams, offensive lineman out of Illinois. Good size, great frame, good athleticism and movement skills. Shows good lateral quickness and the agility to get out and on the move. He's got play strength and power. To me, he's a depth offensive guard with the upside to become a starter in either a gap or a zone run scheme. At 72, the Panthers select linebacker Trevon Wallace out of Kentucky. Good size and frame. We're talking high-level athlete, though. The speed, the movement skills, the burst. He's going to be a core special teamer. He's got range. He's got cover ability. He's a really good blitzer with first-step explosiveness as well. Very intriguing player. I thought he might slip to the early portion around four. Instead, he goes at pick 72 to the Panthers. Next up, Cowboys. Great pick here. Pick 73, select Cooper Beebe, offensive guard, maybe even center there, out of Kansas State. A lot to like about Beebe. I know the length is a concern, but he's got athleticism and movement skills. Love the play strength, the toughness, the physicality, the demeanor that he plays with. He's a great run blocker. Four-year starter, power gap run scheme suits him best. I think he's going to come in and immediately earn a starting job on that Dallas offensive line. Pick 74, the Falcons select Braylon Trice, the edge rusher out of Washington. You know, listen, if they would have taken him in the second round, Ruke in the third, it would have made more sense from what the consensus board was out there. But I think they targeted these two guys. I think they might have known that there was going to be a run on defensive tackles and they had to be aggressive to go up and get Ruke. And then they were able to get Trice here in this round. Good size, great frame. He's got good athleticism. He's got first step and bend off the edge. You like the play strength and the power, nonstop motor. That's the thing that stands out about Trice. Really good production, upside to become a starter at the defensive end edge position for the Falcons. I pick 75. The Bears select developmental offensive tackle Kyron Amagadi out of Yale. Great size and frame. Very good athleticism and movement skills. He's got great length. He's got play strength, physicality, and power. He's got an upside to be a starting left tackle down the line after some development and refinement is needed. Intriguing pick there for the Bears. Just want to make sure they keep stockpiling things to keep Caleb Williams in the best environment possible. At pick 66, the Broncos select edge rusher Jonah Ellis out of Utah. Undersized edge defender, average athleticism and lateral quickness, but very good instincts, play recognition and hand usage, good pass rush techniques and counter moves, high motor. To me, you know, he's going to start out as a depth to rotational rusher and continue to earn his way maybe into a starting role down the line. At pick 77, the Raiders, a little bit of a surprise, select Delmar Glaze, offensive tackle, out of Maryland. Good size and frame, good athleticism, movement skills, and short area quickness. He's got really good length, depth swing tackle, best in his own run scheme to let him get out in space and be a lead blocker. At pick 78, Texans select defensive back Kalen Bullock. Some teams might look at him as a corner, others as a free safety. The size is good. He's got good athleticism and speed. He's got short area quickness. He can change directions well. He's got closing bursts. He's got cover skills and range with ball skills, which is why I think some teams might even try him out as a corner. At pick 79, the Colts select Matt Goncalves out of Pittsburgh, the offensive tackle. He's got great size and frame. Athleticism and movement skills are just about average, but you love the length, the play strength, power. He's got good hand usage. He's a really strong pass protector. He's also going to be a good run blocker. To me, he starts out as a depth swing tackle or offensive guard that can become a starter. I think he's best in a power gap run scheme. At pick 80, the Bengals select Jermaine Burden out of Alabama. I thought he was going to fall to Dave Parise, some of the off-the-field stuff. I thought it was going to get in the way, but he goes there. Could be the heir apparent to T. Higgins and then be attached to Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow being the quarterback. So a really interesting landing spot. The athleticism, speed, burst to win vertically is there. Really good footwork, clean releases. He shows route running chops. He's able to vary his route tempo, understands route concepts. He's got good body control and ball skills. shows physicality at the catch point, complementary to starting talent wide receiver. At pick 81, I talked about Cooper DeJean before being maybe the best value pick of today. I think this one could be the second best, and that's when the Seahawks selected offensive lineman Christian Haynes out of UConn. I think he's a starting offensive guard, best in the gap run scheme, very good run blocker, plays with good techniques. He was a four-year starter. He's got ideal play strength and finishing ability. There is a lot to like about Christian Haynes' game. Really surprised that he fell all the way to pick 81. One of the more surprising picks is the Cardinals, who drafted Trey McBride a couple years ago, and he had a fantastic end to last season. And then in the third round here, pick 82 overall, they select tight end Tip Raymond out of Illinois. Now, very different players. Tip Raymond was the best blocking tight end in college football, but the unique part is he tested out as an elite-level athlete at the NFL Combine. So there might be some untapped upside there, but we're talking about a guy right off the bat, great inline blocker, but he's got really good length, play strength, power, and physicality. Doesn't have a lot of pass-catching production, but he's got really good athleticism. Just kind of see what they can do with that. I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end sets where McBride's obviously running the routes and Ryman's there. So we're talking about a lot of real-life value potentially to that team, but still seemed a little early for my liking. At pick 83, the Rams select running back Blake Corum out of Michigan. A lot to like about him. Yeah, he's undersized, but really strong, compact frame. The athleticism and short area bursts is really good. The footwork, the lateral quickness, agility, and change of direction skills is really good. But for him, his calling card is his vision, his patience. That is what makes Blake Corum who he is. He plays really tough and physical. I've comped him to Doug Martin. Other people have comped him to Ray Rice. I think those are apt comparisons. Pick 84, the Steelers select wide receiver Roman Wilson out of Michigan. Undersized, explosive, vertical slot wide receiver. He's going to step right in and replace Deontay Johnson there. You love the speed, the athleticism, the burst. He was uncoverable at the Senior Bowl. I actually thought he wasn't going to get out of late round two, early round three. So I thought this was a great value for the Steelers to pick up a guy who's a really good route runner, can make things happen after the catch, explosive player. At pick 85, the Browns select offensive lineman out of Michigan, Zach Zinter. Great size and frame, good length, play strength, toughness, power and finishing ability, good hand usage, shows really good instincts and techniques. Upside to be a starting offensive guard, I think more ideally suited in a gap run scheme. At pick 86, the 49ers select Dominic Pooney out of Kansas. Upside to become a starter in a zone run scheme, whether it's at offensive guard or at the center position. He's got good athleticism and footwork. You like to see the lateral quickness. He has good hand usage and their ability to recover if he gets beat. At 87, a little bit of a surprise pick by the Cowboys, take linebacker Maris Liafu out of Notre Dame. He's got good size and frame. He's got athleticism, burst, and movement skills. He's got cover skills and range. He's got really good length, play strength, toughness, physicality. I thought he was going to start out as a depth sub package linebacker and special teamer. Cowboys obviously maybe envision a bigger role for him. 88, I know they needed a backup running back, but this seemed a little rich, especially after the contract they gave Josh Jacobs. But the Packers select running back Marshawn Lloyd. He was Daniel Jeremiah's number one running back. He was my number five running back. Good frame, good athleticism. He's got to clean up that ball security, but this guy's got explosiveness. He's got burst. He's got acceleration. He's got play strength and contact balance. He runs with good tempo, good receiver. He's got a three-down skill set, but unfortunately, he's playing behind now Josh Jacobs, who just found a pretty lucrative deal to be the Packers' lead running back. At pick 89, the Buccaneers selected out of Georgia Tyke Smith. Undersized safety with good frame that played the star linebacker position in college. He's got athleticism and speed, short area quickness, good play strength, toughness and physicality. He's a good tackler. He could be a nickel corner. He could be a safety. He could play that star position. A lot to like about Tyke Smith's game out of Georgia. Next up, at pick 90, the Cardinals selected cornerback Elijah Jones out of BC. This is a guy who's got the upside to become a starting nickel corner. Good athleticism, speed, and burst. He's got great length. He uses it in coverage at the catch point to win. So there's a lot to win contested catches. He's got cover skills and ball skills. There's a lot to like about Elijah Jones' game. I thought he was more of a fourth rounder, but obviously they look at him as a guy who could step in, be good depth, and I think the upside to maybe become that starting nickel back down the line. Pick 91, Packers make a little bit of a surprise. Select Tyron Hopper out of Missouri, the linebacker. Slightly undersized frame, but he's athletic. He's got speed. He's got burst. He's got length. He's got good range with lateral quickness. I like the change of direction and the agility. They must look at him as a depth guy, core special teamer, with maybe the upsides to develop into at least a sub-package linebacker, if not a more traditional starter there. At pick 92, the Buccaneers add to their wide receiver room, select Jalen McMillan out of Washington. Good athleticism, speed, got the movement skills and the burst to win vertically at the vertical slot. He shows yak ability after the catch, very smooth in terms of his route running, in terms of his fluidity in the open field. I like Jalen McMillan's game. I'm glad he got some draft capital here in round three. I picked 93 to Raven selected edge rusher Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. Not nearly as highly regarded as Chop Robinson, but he's got athleticism, movement skills, first step quickness, and bend off the edge. He's got good play recognition and instincts. I like the hand usage, nonstop motor with good length. I think he's got the upside to become a starter down the line. 94, Eagles take a developmental pass rusher, edge rusher, Jalix Hunt out of Houston Christian. Talked about him on my guys podcast before the draft. I love the athleticism, the speed, the closing burst, the first step quickness and bend off the edge. He shows some range with open tackle ability as well. At 95, the Bills select defensive tackle Dwayne Carter out of Duke. We're talking about a depth defensive tackle that can become a starter. Good college production. He's a premier starter, a captain. Above average athleticism and movement skills. Got the burst and the quickness to be an upfield penetrator as well. At pick 96, the Jaguars select cornerback Jarian Jones out of Florida State. Another little bit of a surprise pick. The upside to maybe start out as a depth cornerback. I think he's got nickel starter upside down the line, especially with this level of draft capital, but I thought it was around earlier than I expected. But I do like the aggressiveness that he plays with. Really athletic, tested out well, good movement skills, and I think the Jaguars look at him as maybe a guy who could develop into a starting nickel there as well. The Bengals select defensive tackle McKinley Jackson. This was a little bit of a surprise. I had him as a 6'7" grade. To me, I thought he was a depth nose tackle. But they obviously envision a scenario where he could be a force on that D-line as a run stuffer, a two-gapper, power, play strength, toughness, and physicality. Plays a really good leverage and pad level. So that's maybe what the Bengals, you know, looked at him as a guy who could have a clear, defined role on that line. At pick 98, Steelers steal Peyton Wilson out of NC State, one of the best linebackers. Obviously, there's some durability and injury concerns. They were saying today on the broadcast that maybe he doesn't have an ACL. So maybe, you know, the cartilage. So that was maybe he's a one-contract player. But to get him here, even if you get four really high impactful years, I think he could step right in and be a starting linebacker this year. I love his blitzing ability. I love the athleticism and movement skills, the range, the burst. We're talking about a guy who's a high-level athlete. He's going to add a lot of explosiveness to that linebacker room. The Rams up at pick 99. Cameron Kinchins, the safety. Once upon a time, a lot of people thought he might be safety one. Didn't test out as well as people like, but I think he's got versatility to be a starting free safety or strong safety. I think his instincts and his play recognition are very strong, and he plays faster than what his time speed looked like. The play strength, toughness, and physicality to impact in run support as well. He's got range and ball skills. I like Kinchin's game. Not too worried about the overall athletic testing. I think he has played so much faster than that. And then final pick of the day, pick 100, the Washington Commanders select Luke McCaffrey out of Rice. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey's younger brother. A little bit of a surprise. I thought he was going to be more of a day three guy, but he sneaks in there. Last pick, I think he's a slot or outside possession wide receiver. I love the play strength and physicality that you see in his routes and when he's battling for the football at the catch point. I think you see a guy who's got very good instincts and play recognition. So there's things about Luke McCaffrey that I think are, you know, he makes difficult catches at times. but I think he's a guy that I thought it was a little early for him. I know he's got the name brand, but I would have liked to see the Commanders pick a guy like Troy Franklin, a little bit more explosiveness, or take the upside on a guy like Dez Walker. So I was surprised that they pulled the trigger on McCaffrey, who I think is a slot or outside possession wide receiver, but doesn't have that Colin Carter, that trait. But he does show the ability to make difficult catches, because like I talked about, he's very instinctive when he's out there in terms of his ability to win at the catch point. So there it is, guys. Every pick, round two, round three. I thought the Eagles had a really strong day. This playing the board, going up and getting really good high-level prospects. What the Eagles have done in this draft has been fantastic. But there's a lot of teams. Like I can't wait to dig in team by team when we kind of see the final pieces all come together. But there's a lot of teams that I've been impressed with. Obviously, the Bears have had a great overall draft. We're not done yet. There's still a whole other day. It's still rounds 4 through 7. There's a lot of really good players available. I do want to give a shout out. We here at Saturday Sunday accurately predicted 83 of the 100 prospects to be selected in the first three rounds of the NFL draft. I'm excited to see where that rates in the Huddle Top 100 contest, which we entered this year for the first time, to kind of see how we stack up against some of the best in the industry. I think we'll have a pretty good showing, and see how close we are to the top will be fun. A couple guys that we had missed on that were surprising to me. I thought Jalen Wright was going off the board today. I thought Spencer Rattler was coming off the board today. Jatavion Sanders, Dio Johnson, Brandon Dorlus, edge rushers Muhammad Kamara and Austin Booker, and then some corners like TJ Tampa, DJ James. I thought those guys, and then Jaden Hicks, one of the more surprising guys at safety that's still sitting there. But there's a lot of really interesting guys tomorrow. You're going to see a lot of good running backs go off the board tomorrow, right? I mentioned Jalen Wright, but we still got Braylon Allen, Ray Davis, Will Shipley, my favorite, Tyrone Tracy Jr. At the wide receiver position, you got specialists like Anthony Gould, the burner, Johnny Wilson, who might be that tight end or a big slot. You got Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son. You got Javon Baker. You got the little burner and Jacob Cowing. And then you still got the guy that I mentioned, Troy Franklin. Some people thought could be an early second-round pick. Dez Walker, once upon a time was in Daniel Jeremiah's top 30. Malik Washington, especially with the new kick return rules. I think Malik Washington offers a lot. So there's a lot of really high-level players, I think, still available for day three of the NFL draft. If we kind of close out tonight with my current Dynasty rookie rankings, no quarterbacks went tonight, so that's status quo from yesterday. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix Jr. The way I ranked the running backs who came off the board tonight, Jonathan Brooks 1, mid-round 2 draft capital, wide-open situation there in Carolina. Trey Benson is my number 2 running back at the moment. I think he's got a real opportunity as an early round 3 pick to seize that job. Blake Corum now in the mix there with Kyron Williams, so that's going to be interesting to kind of see how that plays itself out. And then Marshawn Lloyd behind Josh Jacobs is not ideal, but I do really like the talent of the player himself. Tight end position, we've only had 3 right now. Obviously, Brock Bauer sits at the top, Ben Sinnott number 2, and then Tip Brimond, even though he's going to keep being pushed down the board as more of a guy who's not going to be fantasy viable. And then we've had 16 wide receivers take him. I think this is the hardest to rank, and I feel like I'm going to change this 100 times, and I'll keep updating you guys on my changes on the pod. And obviously, if you have the rankings notebook, you'll see the changes in real time and also be tweeting them out at different times and intervals. But right now, I have it Marvin Harrison Jr. at 1, Malik Nabers at 2, Romo Odunze-Ejide, Xavier Worthy 4, Ladd McConkey 5, Brian Thomas Jr. 6, Keon Coleman 7, Ricky Purcell 8, Xavier Leggett 9, Jalen Polk 10, A.D. Mitchell 11, Malachi Corley 12, Roman Wilson 13, Jermaine Burden 14, Jalen McMillan 15, and Luke McCaffrey 16. So that is kind of how I rank it. I think the first real challenge for me is the Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas group. They all went within Brian Thomas went to 23, Xavier Worthy, I think it was like 26, and then Ladd McConkey at the top of the second. So you're talking like 8 to 10 picks between them. very different depth charts, right? You know, and very different in terms of the quarterbacks. I mean, but Worthy has Patrick Mahomes. Ladd McConkey has Justin Herbert. And Brian Thomas Jr. has Trevor Lawrence. So they all got guys with high upside. But trying to rank them, I think, is the first real pivot point at the wide receivers. And then I think from Keon Coleman, Ricky Purcell, Xavier Leggett, I think that's another trio that you could really rank them in any order. They literally came off the board. Three consecutive picks, 31, 32, 33. So how you rank them, whether it's just based on your film evals, opportunity, depth chart, you know, quarterback situation. I have Coleman ahead right now, just the opening there in Buffalo and attached to the best quarterback. Purcell, if they don't trade Brandon Ayuk or Debo, I don't really see a path early on. You know, and we've seen the Eagles be able to keep everybody. What if the 49ers find a way to keep both Debo and Ayuk for a couple more years? That would hurt Ricky Purcell's dynasty value, but I do really like the player. And if he gets that opportunity, I think he could be a flat-out star in that Kyle Shanahan scheme. Another pivot area, I think ranking Jalen Polk and A.D. Mitchell can go either way. And then I think the Malachi Corley, Roman Wilson, Jermaine Burden, I think that's the next trio that could really be ranked up. And then I do think Jalen McMillan and Luke McCaffrey round out right now where we are with the top 16 wide receivers. So there it is, guys. If you've been enjoying the content, please get over to the website, SS Football, fastest and easiest way to get there. For $9.99, you can still purchase the premium notebooks. You get access to all our scouting profiles. The rankings notebook is going to be the bread and butter. You get the draft projections notebook, which also has thoughts on over 400 players as well. Please consider purchasing it if you're enjoying the content. It helps us continue to do what we do here at Saturday to Sunday. So, on behalf of our sound tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.